Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. You already know what time it is. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. It is Draftmas Eve to make up a holiday. That's right. This is the night before the 2021 NFL Draft. The Titans will have at least two presents to unwrap. We'll see what happens. What better way to do it than talk shop? I got a guess for you that he's not mainstream, but he's just as good as anybody on the mainstream, man. I like to use the phone a friend option, so we're going to bring in Vach Lombardi. I can't wait to talk some shop with him. We're going to dig into the trenches, man. That's going to be a great talk. I got Elijah Campbell with the music bumps, hitting the switches, making this thing go as smooth. Yeah, that's right. Spell it with a V. As smoothly as possible. So we're just going to keep it moving, man. Chris Sanders, we're going to talk some shop there, too. I want to start with this, though, because a lot of times when you look at football, right, what do you think of, right? Where do you think it starts? In the trenches. So I know. A lot of Titans fans are like, hey, they better not draft an offensive lineman in the first round. They don't have to do that. I think when you look at Kendall Lamb, you look at Tyson Brelo, these are two guys that they feel are going to be in the mix to be that starting right tackle. But let's call a spade. Neither one of them are guys that you just give the job to. And that's what Mike Vrabel said. There is some depth there. And I actually, on John Robinson's presser, I wanted to ask him what he thought about the depth on the offensive line and just how it compares to the defensive line. Because, there's guys on the edge. There's guys, Christian Barmore continues to be mentioned. Levi Onwuzurike, I know he's a guy that they like. You got Dayo Odegbo, another guy that they like. Offensive line versus defensive line. I mean, is there more depth where? So that's exactly what I asked John Robinson. Let's go ahead and cue that up, Elijah.
Looking at the offensive line and also the defensive line, when you look at these prospects and how it is within this group, is there a serious drop-off when you go from that first tier to the second tier? Would you consider that more than a receiver and corner?
Yeah, morning, TD. Thanks for the question. Yeah, I think the offensive line group probably has a little bit more depth top to bottom maybe than the D-line group. There's some good players in the defensive line group, but I feel like the volume, the supply of players that's in that offensive line group, maybe a little bit deeper than the defensive line group this year.
So there you have it. That's the take. The offensive line group is deeper than the defensive line group. And for me, when I look at the depth and look at guys that they could get that may not hit the ground running and be a starter by week two of training camp or anything like that, I look at guys like Spencer Brown, right, out of Northern Iowa. 6'8", 311 pounds. The guy's an athlete, man. He played baseball. He played basketball in high school. Obviously, he played football, too. He used to be a pass catcher. A lot of upside. He's someone you could get at the tail end of day three. So that's an option. I think, getting him in there and allowing him to get acclimated, because coming from Northern Iowa, one of the big things when you're coming from this level is you got to get used to the higher level of competition. And that's just on any college level going pro. It's a little bit of a bigger jump for a guy like Brown coming out of Northern Iowa, but I think he's fully capable. I would like to see what would happen, how he would come along. And I wrote about this on ESPN.com. So I'm not going to get fully into these guys. I gave you pretty brief descriptions in the post, so definitely make sure you check it out. But one of the things that I said was, you could bring him along in a similar way to how the Titans brought along third-round pick Nate Davis. And eventually he became a starter. And we're talking week four. And he's started every game since. So it's okay if a guy isn't an immediate starter, isn't checking into training camp at the top of the depth chart. That's all right. Another guy that I think, you know, would be a really good option at day two is Liam Eichenberg. And no one's really talking about him. I got to shout out my guy, Gene Clemens, out of Football Game Plan. You know, we did a couple projects recently, and he kind of opened my eyes to him, you know, because he mentioned him as actually a guy the Ravens could consider at pick number 31. But here's the deal with him. He played a lot of left tackle. He's probably going to play right tackle, which fits right into the mold of what the Titans need. 6'6", 306 pounds. I think he would be good, man. And, you know, coming out of Notre Dame, you know one of the things that is in their culture is being strong blockers. And that even goes to the tight end, Tommy Tremble. So it's obviously something that they preach and that work on. I don't evaluate by school, but there are certain things that you know come with different schools. And offensive linemen being solid blockers, playing past the whistle, that's something that you get out of Notre Dame guys. So he's another one. Deontay Smith out of East Carolina, a smooth athlete. We had him on Talking with TD. You know, he's a guy that said he would be willing to play right tackle. The Titans have been in touch with him, and he's a former wrestler. And when we had him on, he talked about how wrestling helped him realize how to win the leverage game. And the thing when you look at Deontay Smith is length. 6'5", 305 pounds, right? But 35-inch arms and an 85-inch wingspan. That covers a lot of space. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that whole thing works out. But I left out a couple guys that I think could be first-round options. And John Robinson actually talked about first-round offensive linemen and if that's something that could be in the cards. Let's hear what he said.
You know, I think that, you know, we look at – there's certainly some players that at the tackle position that are worthy of first-round picks. You know, we'll just kind of see how it goes, how those guys come off the board. And that's that horizontal component that I was alluding to. You know, is there a linebacker or a pass rusher or a corner, any position? How do you have those guys stacked up versus the other position when it comes to your time on the clock?
One guy that could absolutely horizontally match up with what the Titans are looking to do is Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. And 6'5", 322, his athleticism is really what stands out, but he has those strong hands. I actually look at that because he played pretty much all left tackle, right? But I look at that as Jack Conklin. And I'm not saying he's the same player, but I'm saying the Titans took a guy who played a lot of left tackle, put him at right tackle. That worked immediately. He was an all-pro as a rookie and followed it up, you know, with a second all-pro season as well. He started 57 games. What better way to replace, because they essentially haven't replaced Jack Conklin, right? Jack Conklin moved on. They signed Dennis Kelly, 3-year, $21 million deal, released him. They drafted Isaiah Wilson. I'm not going to get into that conversation. He's just not in the league anymore. This could be an option. And at 22, like I said, and I'm going to go ahead and duck real quick because I could just feel the I don't even know what to describe it as. I could feel the rebuttals coming at me, the and I'll duck it, yeah. But I wouldn't be mad at that selection if I was a Titans fan because you're getting a guy that gives you bookend tackle. What's the thing that has always been since, you know, Mike Vrabel has been there, since – you know, really Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were together. It was book and tackles. It was being secure with both of those guys. I think Darrisaw gives you that option as well. And then we're going to round it out. And this one, Tevin Jenkins. Now, I think if they move back, I would say it would probably have to be before the Packers, maybe even before the Ravens at 27.
So they can't trade out of five spots.
Right, I think if they move back to 26, it's getting close. But I think if you go back past 26, then you're jeopardizing losing him. So hopefully for your sake, you will have a few other players, whether it's, you know, Rashad Bateman, Marshall, whoever that may be. You'll have a couple other guys that you could be confident about being there for you. Tevin Jenkins, he's nasty. And it's funny because you see his profile picture and it's like, yo, like this guy looks like he's the analytics guy, right? You would call him a guy who likes math. And there's nothing wrong with liking math. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But he doesn't look like a guy that gets on the football field and just plays through the echo of the whistle the way he does. But he has that aggressive mindset, that aggressive approach that really will work perfectly with what they want to do in the rushing attack for the Titans. So that's something that I would definitely, you know, think as a trade back option. 6'6", 317 pounds. He's already, he just would be a really good mold for a team that wants to do zone blocking. The athleticism is there. I think just mainly it's just that aggressiveness, man. You see him at times getting to the second level of the defense and making that happen. That's something, you know, the Titans obviously are going to have in their rushing attack. So I think he's a really good fit. But I wanted to just kind of run through a couple offensive linemen. Brady Christensen from BYU is another one. Mike Vrabel. It was the joke. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson were at BYU, and Vrabel joked with Taylor Lewan about, you know, maybe being there to look at his replacement. Now, it was a joke. It was a joke, okay? It was just a joke. But still, the fact of the matter is they were there at BYU's Pro Day, and they weren't there to watch Zach Wilson. So I think it's just going to be very interesting how this whole thing could fall out as far as the offensive lineman one. I think they're going to take a guy. I would be surprised if they don't use one of their four picks in the top 100 on offensive lineman. I mean, Deontay Smith at 100, Spencer Brown at 100 is definitely a feasible pick. 100, you know, the compensatory pick. Ironically, that's the one that they got for Jack Conklin.
Mm-hmm.
So
indeed,
they could use that to pick his future replacement. But I'm not going to ramble too long. I'm not going to do that. We talked a little offensive lineman. We got to pay some bills. But we'll come back. I think it's time for Run TMC. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
A slight programming change.
What?
We are just going to devote the whole segment, the second segment of this show, to Run TMC. We got Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. Man, this is the eve of the draft. We will be doing our live draft coverage at Third and Home on Thursday, day one of the draft. So what better way to lead into that than just talk a little shop? What's up, man?
Man, what's good, man? First of all, man, you got to get hyped, man. It's the day before the draft, man. I need some energy, man.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Man,
that was just the build-up.
We got a show tomorrow. We rolling. You know, you look like Thurgood Marshall. We good.
That's right. You look like Clarence Thomas, so that makes two judges here right on here. So, hey, we'll just do what we do. Did you see Tutu Atwell got on the scale and he weighs 160 now?
Who's that?
Tutu Atwell, the Louisville receiver, because he was like a buck 45, buck 50.
How much do you
literally
weigh?
He stepped on this. He's 160 now.
Oh, he's a featherweight, man. I mean, no disrespect. You know, he's a little featherweight, but as long as he can run, dog, we good.
That's what counts. And he can run. He could definitely run.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into your top five.
Sure.
At pick 22, the top five options. But before we do that, I'm not sure if you heard John Robinson's comments, but he kind of alluded to making a move in the draft. He said that if you move up, you have to have guys that you're targeting, and they seem to have a couple guys that could be options. He said that if you move back four or five picks, maybe six picks, and can still get the guy that you want, that's obviously an option as well. And before all that, he said he had some calls to make to GMs to find out what they want to do or where they're at as far as moving around. And he said everybody knows that we're always willing to do a little shuffling. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that is – I mean, he wants to better his team. And I think if he does that and he wants to move up, I think there's a player that he's eyeballing. And I think the one player that he's eyeballing is a corner. And I'm not saying he's going to get it, but you got J.C. Horn and you got Greg Newsom sitting there. And if you get that guy on this Tennessee Titans roster, you just made your defense from an average defense to probably one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, I think J.C. Horn is
he's a dog.
He's the one. I think yes, he's the one, and he's just kind of ascended to cornerback one. I initially had Patrick Surtain there, but the thing that just keeps coming to me about J.C. Horn is just how he'll match up against Kyle Pitts, Elijah Moore, and then the Alabama receivers and Waddle and Devontae Smith. But where do you think – I mean, do you think they have the firepower? Like, you think they can move up to get him, and where do you think they'd have to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I mean, they're had to give up something. They had to give up some things, maybe some draft picks. But I think it would be worth it. I mean, I watched this guy. I mean, they did a special with him with Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey's like, you the real deal. You the real deal. So if you have Jalen Ramsey saying that he's the real deal, then I think you figure out a way to jump up and go get that dude. Because, look, who do we have in the secondary? You know, Adoree's gone, Butler's gone. But who is that dog at corner right now? I mean, I know we have Fulton, and I know we have Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's got a little dog in him. But just imagine you add J.C. Horn to that secondary with Jackrabbit Jenkins over there, and he's got a dog in him. And then you got Simmons that playing on the D line, and then you have Dupree, and then you have all these guys that got a little dog in them. They're gonna be on the hunt, man.
Yeah, that could definitely work. But conversely, do you see a receiver that they could move up for? I know Kyle Pitts is a guy that you've mentioned before, and
yeah.
I mean, I group him in with receivers because he's a pass catcher to me, and I'll put him out there and let him work like Plaxico Burress. But I mean,
he's good.
Who would you consider moving up for receiver wise?
You know, I wouldn't move up for a receiver because a lot of guys are going to be there. I think Elijah Moore is going to drop down to maybe late in the first round. I mean, he's a good player. He's NFL ready. But I wouldn't jump up and go get him because I don't think the teams in front of him are going to jump up and go get Elijah Moore because they have so many other needs. But, you know, if you look at this receiving crop of coming out, I don't think you're going to fail any receiver that you get. So I wouldn't jump up and go get a receiver. Because you can probably get that same receiver in the second round like they did a couple of years with A.J. Brown that was waiting there.
Nice, nice. I agree. I think, you know, I'm curious what the Bears do at 20.
That's
the one. Will they go and get Elijah Moore? Will they take him at 20? That's the one. Or will they take Kadarius Toney? Or will they take Bateman? Because remember, Anthony Miller is on the trading block, so to speak. They've made him available via trade. And he was one of their primary slot guys. So I want to see where they go there. I think whoever was the receiver there, I mean, they were hindered by Trubisky and Nick Foles last year. So that's something you have to account for. But let's
you can play quarterback.
Yeah. Let's look at your top five, though. So at pick 22, let's just say the Titans stay put.
Okay.
Who is – and we'll go, like, from the bottom to the top.
Sure.
You know, who would be number five on your list of guys for the Titans?
I would say Terrence Marshall. I know he's a receiver. I kind of like him. I mean, he's 6'2", 205, 10 TDs. And just like what we talked about before earlier in the show last week is his catch radius. I mean, his catch radius is amazing. That means wherever the ball's at, I'm going to get it. That would be my fifth guy if he was there. I would definitely try to get him. I know everybody's like, whoa, why would you get him? But I just think he would make your offense a little better to complement A.J. Brown.
I think he would be a legit pick at 22. I mean, you look at after that top tier, you know, Chase and Waddle and Devontae Smith, he's in that cluster with Bateman and Elijah Moore.
I agree.
And you know, himself, Kadarius Toney. So I could definitely see that, and I think that would help what the Titans want to do just as far as having a big body to line up on the outside, and it just further emphasizes their versatility, right, rotating guys and different spots, X, Z, and slot. But who you have at number four? Is it another receiver, or where are you going at?
I want to kind of go with receiver, but I would want to go with cornerback. And you know who I love, that cat from Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dog, man. I mean, 6 foot, 190. He just plays with an attitude. And then you add him to, you know, this Tennessee Titans defense because they want to play with attitude, they want to play fast, and they want to play aggressive. And he's one of those guys that will fit really good in the mold because that's what they want to do. And he's a versatile corner. I mean, you can put him outside. You can put him in a slot to cover some of those little quick guys because his hips are really smooth. So I think my fourth guy will be Greg Newsome from Northwestern.
Now, with Newsome, do you have any concerns about the injuries, though? Because he's missed a lot of games.
He has. I mean, he has, and that's just the nature of the beast. But if he's healthy, I think he can really help this Tennessee Titans defense. So, but the key thing is you hit it right on the head is, you know, he's got to stay healthy.
So that being said, right, I mean, do you subscribe to the school of, okay, if a guy is repeatedly getting injured when he's younger, you know how the body goes, you know what I mean?
That's true.
So is that something that you consider or think about? Like, will he be injury prone like this when he's older and when the body starts to break down?
Yeah, but that's the risk that you take because you really don't know. I mean, just like when Corey Davis, I know we're talking about Greg Newsom's a corner, but just going talking about receivers, look at Corey Davis when he first got in the league. What was the knock on him? Consistently getting hurt. He came in camp and hurt. But that's the risk that you take because you just don't know. I mean, the guy might get hurt in college, but then you look and say, okay, he has a long career of 15 years. You really just don't know. So it's all around the board. It doesn't matter what player you get, an edge rusher, a corner, a receiver, you have the risk of somebody getting hurt. So you're going to have to take that chance.
No doubt. So let's go to number three. Who do you have there?
I like that dog Phillips from Miami of Florida. Well, 6'5", 255 Phillips. I mean, he's one of those guys that edge rushes that's really, really long and can really make this Tennessee Titans defense better by getting him. You know, I know there's some other pass rushers that are probably better than him, but I just think that with Phillips, I'm not saying he's a Javon Curse, but he's long like Javon Curse. So I think that will be a good pick for the Tennessee Titans.
He really is, man, in his arms.
And he's long, ain't he?
He has some long arms, man.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch because he's violent. I love the way they loop him inside. Mm-hmm. The guy has one of those motors that just don't stop running. I love the fact I asked him about music and just how people are using music, his love for music, as a way to doubt his love for the game. And he made an excellent point. He said, I was at University of Miami School of Music. I quit that to focus on football. Mm-hmm. And there it is right there. That's your answer. Yeah. So, hey, listen, you're not going to get any hesitation from me on Jalen Phillips. I think that's a really good pick. I strongly consider taking him in the NFL Nation mock draft. I just felt that Elijah Moore fit the need the most.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you can't go wrong either way. So that was number three. Let's go to number two.
Oh, I hate to do this, but I'm going to go with J.C. Horn from South Carolina. We talked about it earlier. He's a two or a one, but there's another guy we're going to talk about when we said number one, and you know the reason why. But J.C. Horn, we talked about a shutdown corner, physical, nasty. And just like I said, I'm not saying he's good as Jalen Ramsey now, but he has that dog and fight in him like Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you watch some of the things that's going on in some of his games. I mean, he's pushing the receiver like 5 and 6 yards out of bounds and saying, hey, I'm letting you know you're not getting anything here. So when you bring that type of attitude and that type of tenacity, saying, you know what, regardless of what you do, you're not getting open, mister, and that's what you want.
I said it before and I'm going to say it again. That Auburn game when he grabbed Seth Williams and threw him on the ground, I mean, we're talking about a 6'3", 218-pound receiver. Got tossed like, man, it wasn't friendly. I ain't going to say what he got tossed like because, they'll end up being mad at me and we don't need any pushback. I'll tell you off the air. So, that being said, who you have at number one?
This is a gimme right here. It's Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. And, the reason why I pick him is because he brings some stankness to a defense. He's just like a superhero in pads, man. He's yoked up. He's fast. He's going to run through your face. He's going to run through your lips and dare you to say something about it. I mean, they talk about him off the field. They said he's one of the nicest guys off the field. But when you step between those lines, he's coming to run through your face. And when you have a guy that's smart, versatile, fast, can start on a dime, that just makes your defense better. Now, just check this out. I'm not getting all excited, but I am getting excited. Just imagine him, Simmons, Dupree, Evans, all those guys on the field at the same time?
That's quite a rotation. With Autry and Landry, too.
And Autry, I forgot about Autry.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We talk about the long arms that Phillips have. Well, You know, that dude has a long arm that he mixes with a chop, and then just the cross chop that he used, period, you know, is Yannick Ngakoue-like. And he does – and the reason why he's my number one as far as edge guys, he does everything. You need him to drop back with a running back, he'll do it. You need him to take on offensive linemen, he'll do it. You need him to rush the passer, loop inside, anything. You need a play when you – and we talked about this last week. Yep. When you need a play, he's that guy that understands that he's the man to do it. But one thing real quick before we get you out of here. You didn't have Caleb Farley in there. And I remember, you know, talking to you about that L5 and just how significant that injury actually is.
Yeah.
Having been through that, share with the listeners, you know, let them know that that thing is not, it's not anything to be playing with.
Oh, it's serious, because when you have that L5 lumbar, it pushes on your nerve and it takes the strength out of your legs. So have you noticed that he didn't do anything in individual workouts? Because there's something wrong. Mm. Because you can't be explosive. You can't do the things. You can't move your hips. You're losing, you know, strength in your ankles. You're losing strength in your calf. And you're losing strength in your hamstring because your muscle is – your sciatic nerve is not firing to the muscles. That's how I ended my career, because I didn't have no explosion. I couldn't turn my hips. My leg was weak. So I think a lot of teams are going to shy away from that. Because this is a serious injury. I'd rather tear a knee or ankle than hurt that L5 and it's with my back. Because if you're not working out and you're not doing it for some teams, something is absolutely wrong. And if teams jump up and get him and he doesn't pan out, you just chalked up a loss.
So, I mean, is that something that you just have to take time to allow to heal, or what's the best thing?
There's nothing you can really do, because when it messes up the sciatic nerve, you got to get strength in the sciatic nerve, because the sciatic nerve fires to the muscles to make your muscles work.
Yeah.
So if it's not firing to the muscle and it has been standing, like, you're gonna lose strength in your whole leg. Because I remember when we were getting ready to play the Detroit Lions, and I tried to play, but my whole leg just completely went numb. Mm. And that's when my career was over and I was done.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And, you know, there was a recent report, you know, the poor fella, he came down with COVID, too. So it's just
thank
like, yeah, yo, he can't win right now, you know. But I wish
you
him the best,
win.
Man. Yeah, you can't win.
Throw
the towel. Yeah, that's what his body may be saying. Throw the damn towel. Well, Chris, man, I appreciate you.
Always.
I know you
got
to run and move on to John Candy, a.k.a. Jarrett Stillman. So I'll let you do that, man, and we'll talk.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, TD.
All right.
Boss.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Raekwon, Glaciers of Ice. Definitely love Elijah getting the woo in there. Yo, I'm excited about our next guest, man. This is a guy, I've been watching his videos for about a year now, and I always loved his breakdown. So I'm excited, man. We got Vach Lombardi. He's an NFL film evaluator. He gives you all things draft. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Twitter, VOCH space Lombardi. Check it out. Vach, what's going on, man?
Bless. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you coming on. And I guess it'll probably be good so listeners could understand the perspective that you're getting. What got you into film and what are some of the things that made you such a really good evaluator? You know what I mean? Because I recognize that.
Funny story, man. So I played football for a little bit, and I coached football, right? So once upon a time, the National Football League used to be like, hey, we'll never do all this college stuff, right? We'll never do spread. We'll never do Wildcat and all that. But when I was in high school playing and coaching, we were doing spread. So we were looking at Mississippi State. We were looking at Florida, just what they're doing. Now what they do in the pros is they take what they do in college. So I just happen to just see everything, and I go, boy, I remember doing that 5-10 years ago, you know? So I'm just in this place now where I just see what's going on in front of me. And I just had this knack for, like, player evaluation or whatnot. And, like, the more I just did it, I haven't been doing it for long. I've been doing it for, like, 5 years or so. I would say, you know, YouTube is my professional thing of it or whatever, but I've been doing it for like 5 years and I got a pretty good record on it, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah, no doubt. And 64,100 subscribers. And listeners, ladies and gentlemen, after this conversation, you're going to add to that. I know it just took me one video to watch and I was like, yeah, let's subscribe. I need the updates. I need alerts, all that stuff. And it's funny because I said knew it when you said you played ball and you coached. Because there's just certain things that when you're watching someone or listening to someone talk about the game, there's certain things that tell you, like, you just get a feel. Like, you understand that they played ball. And that's something that I always appreciate because, you know, I played the game as well. And there's just a different level of understanding that and just relating that you could get from being in the coaching seat as well as the playing seat. So I wanted to shout you out for that. But let's get into business, man. Let's get into business. I primarily love your breakdowns on the guys in the trenches. And I just, you know, Marvin Wilson is the guy that I've talked about, and I really liked him down at the Senior Bowl, and he's someone that anytime I get a rebuttal, I tell people, go back and watch the 2019 film. You'll like that a little bit more. But tell me a little bit about Marvin Wilson.
So, last year, the best tackle in the draft, Derrick Brown. He went top 10 or whatever, Carolina. All right, cool. So, that sets this precedent that if you like a D tackle enough, they can go high enough. I'm not getting into this new league thing where tackles aren't important or like guards aren't important. That sucks to me. I hate listening to it.
Yeah.
And when you watch Marvin Wilson film in 2018, 2019, he's hitting grown men in the chest and they stop moving. They stop moving, right? Powerful hands, violent hands, stacking and shedding. He can two gap. He can one gap. He's not the most athletic guy in the world, but when you're watching Marvin play, he keeps moving, right? Super effort guy. So he'll just stumble into a play just being effort guy. So he's not these big trash can full of dirt one-tech dudes that just can't move. They just kind of take up space because the new NFL, like, we're moving towards zone stuff, outside zone, inside zone, whatever, whatever. So you have to be able to move a little bit. Marvin Wilson, not only being strong, violent, and super effort dude, I look at that dude and I go, why can't he be a first-round pick based on this elite film that I saw? And I purposely used the E-word, this elite film that I saw. Now, he had this down 2020 year that people like to over-exaggerate. You know, it wasn't the best year. It wasn't his 2018-19 tape, but there were some variables here, right? We saw some coaching things. I'm watching film on. I'm like, why is Marvin Wilson playing five tech? He doesn't go there. That doesn't fit. That doesn't look right on film. And then there's this whole COVID year that you have to just kind of account for that. In my mind, if I'm coaching, what I like to do nowadays, I don't like to say what a player, you know, can't do. What can you do, right? If I'm looking at this 2018 and 2019 film, if I'm a coach, I'm saying, okay, what happened where you were like that? Do I got to get you a nice three tech to play next to you to help you out a little bit? Do I got to get a defensive end that kind of complements what you do to make you great? If I got to do that, let me do that, and I'll get this elite 2018-19 Marvin Wilson. And I'm disregarding this lackadaisical 2020 film that just doesn't matter to me. I'm taking the good guy all day. I'm taking last year's Marvin Wilson.
No doubt. And see, that's the coaching aspect. That's the evaluating aspect. Understanding, like you said, what can you do well and how can we further showcase that? And that's what good coaches do. So it's an excellent point there by you, Vosh. I want to keep it rolling on the D-tackle side of things because, you know, like, I keep hearing Christian Barmore. I keep hearing him associated with the Titans at 22. I look at one of your top 50 boards. He's not on there. What is it that doesn't excite you about Barmore?
So baseline, he is a very athletic player with some upside. But if you look at what he does well, you have to ask yourself, can I take this dude in the first round? Can I take him wherever you're thinking about drafting him, right? If you watch Christian Barmore, let's just say you watch the Auburn film, right? Auburn versus Alabama. I didn't see him on the very first play of the game. I'm like, well, that's strange. That's peculiar. I'm looking for Christian Barmore, right? We get to play 13-15. I'm still not seeing him. I'm thinking maybe he's missing a shoe or something, right? But nah, they just don't start him. He just doesn't play rundowns. I'm thinking, why is that the case, right? But if you continue to watch this system that Barmore is in, a fantastic system for him because the Alabama offense scores points, they get up big, and he gets the pass rush with no run responsibility. So Barmore just gets to roll out there and tear things up. But how high can you draft a player that only plays 25, maybe 30 snaps on defense or whatnot? You kind of got to think about that. So if I'm thinking about Barmore, he's really good at what he's good at. But a situational pass rushing one tech, where do you take him? When I could get somebody that's more complete. I'm not saying that Barmore is a bad player, but if I'm picking at 23 and there's a complete player on the board, like Jalen Phillips or something, do I take the complete player or the non-complete player? Also, something else, too, like super draft fans know this, but there are some casual fans that might be listening right now. Good players go in the second round too, mm-hmm. and the third round too, mm-hmm. and the fourth round too. So I could be sitting at 70. I can see a complete player at 70. If Barmore is not complete, you have to have that conversation with yourself. How much do I value pass rushing one tech versus this player that's more complete?
And we're talking to NFL draft analyst Vach Lombardi. Folks, make sure you check his channel out on YouTube. Check him out on Twitter. I'm a subscriber and follower to both of those. Vach, Levi Onwuzurike. I had him on the show, man, and I told him it's really interesting when you put hands on these offensive linemen, like they feel it. And I said he has those hands like Wreck-It Ralph, man. And that's really my take on him. And that motor that he has is relentless. Tell me a little bit about him, because you have him in your top 50. A little bit lower, well, not a little, a lot lower than I have him, but still, sure. It's props that you have him in the top 50.
Sure. Well, this is my thing about him, though, right? I remember watching him in 2018 thinking, yo, that dude is special. Is he coming out this year? Is he playing this year? And everybody told me, nah, he's just going back to school or whatever. But I think he was very effective 2 years ago, 2018. He was very effective because they had him in B-gap. I'm like, if you're a B-gap player and you're using what he does well, right, we're going right back to that conversation. Let this dude be violent. Let him use these powerful hands. Let him use that upfield burst to do three tech things, right? Let him penetrate gaps. Washington, University of Washington, you know, if anybody's listening from the University of Washington, I'm sorry, but they just kind of had him in, you know, he was playing this zero head up over the shoulder of the center. Sometimes he was shading or whatnot, and that's just not where he fits. He doesn't need to be wrestling guards. He doesn't need to be taking on double teams. He's like 280 or so. Like, let that dude, like, fly. And in my mind, when he goes to the National Football League and they line him up in B-gap, he's going to fly. He was a Senior Bowl guy. I didn't see much of his practice, so I'm assuming like he got hurt maybe or something like that.
Yeah, he did his thing down there, Danny. He got hurt. He had the hip flexor.
I was really looking forward to his Senior Bowl footage because I'm like, when they get Levi down, if I know anything about the Senior Bowl, I know they play you everywhere. And I was mm-hmm. excited. I'm like, when they get Levi, they're going to put him in B-gap. He's going to smoke everybody because I know that's what he's good at. But sometimes when you're in college and like the game setting, they just want to put their best guy over the center and just let him fly. I think if you take Levi, put him in B-gap where he's best fit, I think he's going to be incredible on the next level. And he's only fallen in my draft because I think some teams in the league are actually going to try him at nose. I don't think that's the right thing. If you play him in B-gap, he'll probably be a little better than that.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. So let's move it to the edge guys, man. And you know, I laugh because I'm so with you on the Gregory Rousseau side of things, man. And
yeah, man.
I was on the air last week and I said it kind of reminds me of Bambi. You know what I mean? Where like he doesn't have his legs under him and you just see him mm-hmm. just like, it just doesn't look like he's used to the size that he's at. And he's gotten even bigger. So quickly, your perspective on Gregory Rousseau, why is there too much hype on him?
First of all, I hope he does well. I hope he get his money. I hope he buys his mom a house and all that good stuff. But if we're just talking about players, right, he doesn't fit anything. So I don't really know where to draft him because if somebody drafted him and told me to coach him and put him somewhere, I don't know exactly where to play him. So when I look at Rousseau, I see a guy that stumbled into 15 sacks. And it sounds weird, but he lined up against the worst guard I've ever seen in Pittsburgh. He got like 4 sacks. The worst Florida State guard I've ever seen in my life. The slowest feet I've ever seen, and got 3 sacks. Then he'll get these gap exchanges where he's manufactured these sacks or these effort sacks. I want to see sacks that I'm impressed with, and I didn't see many of those. On film, he was 240 pounds, but he got his production from the inside. You can't do that on the next level at 240.
Right.
I see a lot of people on the social media machines, Twitter and all that, they say put 50 pounds on him and play him at 1 sec. Excuse me? No, not going to be able to do it. That's not how things work. So he can functionally get up to about 260. I could do that. But if you play him at outside linebacker, he's still 6'7 with long legs, and he doesn't turn very well.
Right.
So he doesn't have that bend or that dip. So I really don't know what to do with Greg Rousseau when there's another guy at Miami that played this year, and I know what he is, same jersey number 15, Jalen Phillips, who's complete. Like, I know I call these other guys complete, but Jalen is complete. Like, we're not just talking about he plays well in the run and the pass, but I mean, like, he's physically impressive. He has nuance. He plays with his hands. He rushes with a pass rush. rush plan. He defeats the outside risk. He knows how to counter and all that. And the only reason he's fallen in this draft is because he got some concussions at UCLA and hasn't had a concussion since then. And they just kind of made him retire. Well, he played at Miami, and he kind of had to get his feet under him the first three games. But in the last seven games, he got to the quarterback 10 times. So I'll let you pick. I'll let you pick the guy that you like the most. I'm taking Jalen Phillips. He's the best defensive end in this class, in my opinion.
No doubt. We're talking to Vach Lombardi. Definitely a great listen for you folks right now. I'm enjoying it. And I don't usually not talk a lot, but I'm just letting you go ahead and preach. So that being said, we had Azeez Ojulari on here. He actually is my top edge guy. I compare him to Yannick Ngakoue. Go ahead and preach about Ojulari. I know you're high on him.
What I love about him is that you saw him getting better. And what I hate about George is that they kept taking him off the field, right? Mm. Like, the more you would see him get his groove, and sometimes you keep playing to find your groove, and once you find that groove, that's when you stride. And every time I would see Ojulari get his stride, and he'll get this sack, and he'll do that nice little rip move, right? I love his consistency rushing to the outside. I tell young guys all the time, look, man, attack the hand in whatever direction you're going, and you're going to lead yourself to prosperity. All right, cool. Ojulari, I'm going to the right. I'm going to secure the offensive lineman's outside hand. I'm going to get that dip every single time, and it works for him. It's consistent. It's his favorite move. And sometimes all you need is one move that you're elite at to be great, and I see it. There's no projecting with Ojulari as a pass rusher. I see what he is, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's the upside of him getting better. Now, he's my edge rusher number two, but if you have any medical, if you're worried about, Phillips's, medical issues or whatever, just go get Ojulari and move on. Ojulari is just as good. It just sucks that neither one of these guys are like the Chase Young type pass rusher, and we don't feel great about taking those dudes because we're not hyping them up. But if y'all watch a film, if you watch Ojulari, the dude's incredible.
Yep.
Plus, he ended the season bowl game versus Cincinnati, took the game over by himself.
Mm-hmm.
By himself, ladies and gentlemen. You want somebody on your team, get Azeez Ojulari. He'll take it over by himself. Come on.
I love pass rushers that put it upon themselves. When it's time to make a play, they deliver. Those are the guys that you need on your team. And you saw what he did, as you mentioned, in that bowl game. That sack strip, pretty much set up everything, right? And that kind of sealed the deal. So you look at that, and you mentioned the hands. He has a saying, you beat the hands, you beat the man. You mentioned moves, long arm, cross chop. He does all of that. So for me, he's definitely somebody. But I want to get into his ability against the run, because everybody looks and says, oh, well, he's less than 250. How can he be good against the run? Well, I mean, I watched the Alabama game, and I saw him folding offensive linemen, to borrow Bud Dupree's term. So tell me a little bit about what you're seeing when you see him against the run.
Because he's strong, right? Now he still has to figure out, the super nuances of it, but he's a college player, whatever. But what he does have is he's strong for his size, and he understands leverage. Right, hat level, all this, hands down the middle. Like, when you see him punch people in the chest, you notice it. And you're like, hey, you're 260, 250, 240. Like, how are you punching people in the chest and they stop moving, right? But then he digs down low in them, right, bends his knees, gets his hips involved, really gets that shoulder in there. So don't worry about him setting the edge. Don't worry about him being some liability in the run game. That's not true. That's not real life. Some people that fake like they watch film on social media will just pretend because he's a little slimmer that he's going to be a liability in the run game. That's not true, because he has these natural gifts that helps him. Plus, he's this long-armed guy. So there are certain tackles that he's going to be playing against, because every tackle doesn't have long arms. If he has the long arm advantage and the leverage advantage, they can't get hands on him. So with his strength advantage for his size, he's just fine versus the run, man. Don't panic.
I like how you're high on Ronnie Perkins, because that's a guy that not many people are talking about, but you have him pretty high, especially in your edge top 10. What is it about Ronnie Perkins that people are missing?
So, once again, we have to use our how is he going to be used in the league eyes, right? Because if you watch some of his 2019 film at Oklahoma, they do a lot of goofy stuff. They do a lot of gap exchanging, a lot of slants, a lot of movement up front. And if you watch enough film, you just see Perkins running up and down B-gap and A-gap all game, and that's not how he's going to be used. But there are these plays, right? That's why you got to watch the whole film. Stop watching highlight tapes, ladies and gentlemen. Judge these players on 68 plays, not 6 to 8 plays. You watch Ronnie Perkins, you'll just find some of these handful of plays where he is rushing C-gap and he is getting upfield. You see some burst. You see some twitch. You see some get off. You see some hand violence, right? Then he takes this 2019 that I was very upset with because of the D.C., you know, and then he moves on to the 2020 season, and he's incredible. He's incredible. Has this Oklahoma State game. I love Tevin Jenkins. Puts Tevin Jenkins on his butt. And Tevin Jenkins is the most violent offensive lineman in the class this year, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at Ronnie Perkins. Ronnie Perkins has this floor that's not as high as Phillips, that's not as high as Ojulari, but I can see Perkins once he figures it all out, once he gets the nuances of the game. Perkins could be a guy that goes in the third round or so that's going to be great in like 3 years.
And you have Quiddy Pay right ahead of him at 27. Definitely a guy developmental as far as the pass rush side of things. But that boy, oh boy, he plays the run really, really well. I like your take on get your take real quick on Carlos Basham. I'm trying to hit on guys that people aren't really talking about a lot, and I know that you have that nuance down. So I got to take advantage of it, man. So tell me a bit about Boogie Basham.
Boogie Basham is a guy that's interesting because when you look at him, he's 280, so he's a bigger dude, but he plays like a smaller, slashy kind of guy. So when you're drafting these power pass rushers, what you do is you draft them and you hope that they can develop some slashiness in them, some bend, right? What I like about Basham is sometimes football is very intangible, right? So we have your physical side, but will you work at it? We saw Basham develop that slashy side, right? So what drops him down, my boy, is I got to get him back to being this big power rusher, right? Because he is 280, and he is going to go to the league, and they're going to give him this magic water, this magic, you know, make you bigger thing that the league does in the offseason or whatever. So Basham is going to end up like 290 next year or something like that. So what I need Basham to do is just put it all together, right? So you'll see flashes of him crossing face, slashing, bending. Then you'll see flashes of him running down the middle of somebody, punching, extending, being powerful. What I need Basham to do is to put it all together, right? Put it all together, and then I think you'll have a better product. And to be fair, defensive end, that's just the nature of the league. When you get to the league, men are just grown there, and they've been doing it for like 4 or 5 years. It may take Basham a little bit longer to figure it out, but I do have faith that Basham can figure it out because I've seen the evidence of him working on something and getting better at it.
No doubt. And man, I could keep you on. I told you mainly about the trenches, but you're high on Kelvin Joseph, and this is a guy that I've mentioned frequently as an option for the Titans at 53. After you get outside of that top five, what do you like about him? Because, I mean, you have him ranked pretty high. I mean, he's, if I'm not mistaken, in your top 15. So what's being missed about Kelvin Joseph?
He's my second favorite corner, and I don't want the rumors of his off the field stuff to take away from the player that he actually is. Now, if you want to bump him down your board because you've heard the rumors and you don't want to deal with that kind of guy, okay, cool. Stop being a coward, right? Get over yourself. But if we're talking about the actual player, former LSU guy, so you know he's talented, right? When I watch Kelvin Joseph play, he's a combination of athleticism, but I also see some of the technical side of the cornerback play, right? If you watch him versus Florida, he was going up against Copeland. And Copeland tried to set him up with this slant, but he set the slant up with the fade. And Kelvin Joseph was just so patient on the outside. Mm-hmm. And cornerbacks need patience. Because if you bite on every single head fake, every single move, then you're going to be, you know, left in the grass, you know?
Jaden Mills.
100%, Mr. Wolf. So what you see... So what you see from Kelvin Joseph is I saw that patience in him. Okay, look, I'm putting myself in perfect position in case you're running this fade. If you're running this slant, you're going to have to run through me. You're going to get the penalty. I just saw so much nuance in that play. There was this other play against Mississippi State. Defensive end catches the interception. Not Joseph. Joseph way in the back. But Joseph is the one that catches up to everybody to lead block for him. I like that kind of dog mentality. Plus, how many of these cornerbacks can just say that they lined up against Devontae Smith and didn't die? How many can say it? Like one? Kelvin Joseph is the second one. So when I look at him, I go, man, I wish there weren't off-the-field issues because this dude is really, really nice. I got J.C. Horn over him because J.C. Horn is incredible. But what made me really make the decision to put him over Surtain, and don't get me wrong, I love Surtain. I just really love Kelvin Joseph. If I had to put my corner – versus a receiver, with no safety help, do I feel comfortable doing it? And I think that Kelvin Joseph, with his ball skills, with just that dog in him, I think he feels good covering anybody one-on-one by himself. He lost a big play versus Kyle Pitts, but everybody loses a big play right. versus Kyle Pitts. Besides that, Kelvin Joseph is solid to me. And if you get him in the third round and can temper down the off-the-field stuff, then you got a stud in the third round.
No doubt. And you mentioned Patrick Surtain. And, you know, the thing that troubles me is that Tennessee game. You know, Josh Palmer is a receiver I really like, and I've talked about him a lot. We had him on here, and, you know, he gave him some work. So I'm glad you mentioned Surtain so I could get Josh Palmer in there. He's someone I like to talk about. But we're going to round it out with Greg Newsome. And I continue to kind of go back and forth between Ojulari, Jalen Phillips, Elijah Moore, and Greg Newsome as far as being asked who I would predict the Titans, who I would take for the Titans at 22.
Yeah.
What is it about Newsome? And why are you high on him despite the injuries? Like that does that trouble you at all?
Boy, the injuries suck, man, but this is modern medicine. These doctors nowadays can get you a whole new leg and you'll be just fine. So let's just hope for the best with that. But in terms of the actual player, Greg Newsome, if you watch Northwestern, he's another guy that you got to put your put your thinking cap on when you watch him, because Northwestern played him a bunch in off man. They played him a bunch deep thirds, and they just weren't taking advantage of what he's best at. But we don't watch highlight tapes here, ladies and gentlemen. Watch 68 plays and not 6-8. And if you just watch the Greg Newsome film, every now and then they'll just have him in man coverage and nobody – just press man coverage, and nobody beats him. Nobody beats him. Super physical, super aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Hip pocket. He knows which hip to be in. He's just reactionary. He's another patient guy. I think his floor is really what puts him that high on my board, because especially in this draft, you're either floor guy or ceiling guy, right? What somebody could be or what they are right now. Greg Newsome is great right now, but he also has the upside to be better later. So in my mind, if I'm putting on my thinking cap or whatever, projecting or whatnot, if somebody puts him in a system, and he just gets to go and just press man people all day, let him run around and be physical, let him man cover folks, he's going to be just fine. Don't ask him to do things that he's not great at. So it takes a little bit of work watching the film, but once you see it, if you just make, like a reel of Greg Newsome's man coverage plays, it's going to look like a highlight tape. I just really like him a bunch. I think he's incredible. If you can get past the injuries, we'll be fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it gets much better than that, and that's what I call radio gold, and it's exactly why I randomly reached out to Vach, because I had to have him on, because I wanted you all to get this type of info. Vach, where can they get your just keep up with you? Because, they absolutely have to do it.
Absolutely. Everything that I've said today, I have proven it on film. I have proven it. Like, I have done the research, so find me on YouTube at Vach Lombardi, VochLombardi, and I do that same thing on Twitter, but in 140 characters, whatever. I get really angry with the wrong people, so if you want to see me just fussing at folks, follow me on Twitter at Vach Lombardi as well. Thanks for having me, though, man. This was fun. This was great. Let's do it again.
Yeah, for sure. We absolutely will, man. So I appreciate you coming on, and definitely we'll keep these takes in mind as the draft continues to develop.
Sure, no doubt.
All right. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to freedomtireguys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at freedomtireguys.com.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, man. I guess it's time to go ahead and do it. I posted a couple, maybe a month ago, some mocks. We're going to go ahead and do a mock on the air, Elijah. We might as well go ahead and do it. So Elijah is going to regulate it and tell us who's available. I'm going to give you the picks. Now, this isn't based on what I think the team would do. This is based on what I would do. So let's be clear about that. These are the decisions that I would make. And it's giving a situation where certain players are available, certain players are not. So, if I don't take player X that you like, it's all good, man. This is just a fun exercise to generate conversation. Again, this is what I would do. Elijah, let's go ahead and get this pick rolling, man. What we got here?
All right, first round, not a lot of surprises outside of maybe Kyle Pitts going 10 to the Cowboys. A little funky there. Elijah Moore off the board, 15 to the Patriots. So we can't recreate the mock draft that you had on ESPN. Yeah. Jalen Phillips is off the board, went 18 to Miami.
Ooh.
Justin Fields slipped to 20 to Chicago. Jeez. Rashad Bateman at 21 to the Colts is off the board. So that leaves us with the best available according to the Draft Network. We still have Kwity Paye on the board, Alex Leatherwood, Greg Newsom, Azeez Ojulari, Tevin Jenkins. We talked about that first segment. Zaven Collins, Najee Harris, Caleb Farley, Joe Tryon.
Sign me up, man. Azeez Ojulari, let's go. It's time to rush the passer. And I think that is a guy that will go in that rotation. He'll be a situational guy. Eventually, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they should bring Howard Landry back. But, man, that definitely gives him some leverage, I tell you that much. But you can never have too many pass rushers.
Leverage and a little bit of depth as well. I mean, you can, like I said, you never have too much pass rush. Especially if it can become, if you can get it to where it's elite. I mean, it's bad to the point where it was last year, dead last of all playoff teams in sacks. Mm-hmm. It is a glaring issue. So Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia, off the board. Now we'll go to pick 53. Amari Rodgers just getting taken off the board. I know you like him a lot. The Bears just snagged him at 52. Rondale Moore's off the board to Arizona at 49. Eichenberg off the board, Raiders at 48. I'm trying to scroll through some of these. Yeah, Levi Nwuzurike, 41, to the Lions. Great value for them. Your man Kelvin Joseph as well, off the board. Landon Dickerson, Terrace Marshall, all off the board. So right now the best available that we still have here, according to the Draft Network, Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, Peyton Turner, edge rusher from Houston, Wyatt Davis, interior offensive lineman, Ohio State, Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma, Gregory Rousseau from Miami, Joseph Asai from Texas, Nick Bolton, Missouri. The run on receivers has happened. Asante Samuel Jr. still available right here. Brady Christensen, Jamar Johnson, Tommy Tremble still available. Brevin Jordan still available if you're going tight end.
Let's go ahead and go.
Elijah Molden still available.
Oh, man, you're making it tough for me.
I mean.
We're going to get hashtag that dog. Let's go ahead and go with Asante Samuel Jr. And I know. Fans are going to say, well, why didn't you address the receiver position? I mean, I get it. I definitely think it's something that you'll need to address. I have a guy in mind that I think is going to be a very good slot, and he's very polished, and I think he's going to be available when we get into the fourth round. So, yeah, sign me up at 53 for Asante Samuel Jr. We went defense those first two times. We'll see what's there in the third round, too, but – yeah, sign me up for those guys. So how do we look?
And, well, and of course, back to that point, too, I mean, a lot of times in these drafts, in real life and in, you know, mocks like this, you got to account for when the run happens at that position. We hit the run on wide receiver early in this draft, even though it is a deep draft class. Sometimes you're going to hit a run of players at a certain position. You're not going to be able to get what you might have wanted at the tail end. So that's kind of what we had right here. But if you get Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round, you're doing pretty well for yourself, and you're also addressing a need with Malcolm Butler being out of town right now as well.
Exactly.
So right now at 85, the best players available, you have scroll up here, your guy Tylan Wallace, our first draft guest of the cycle. Tylan Wallace is right now ranked as the best available player according to the Draft Network. Chaz Surratt from North Carolina, linebacker. Michael Carter, running back from North Carolina as well. Spencer Brown from Northern Iowa, an offensive tackle. Kellen Mond, probably one of the biggest names available. Stone Forsyth from Florida, offensive tackle. Hamza Nasirullahdeen from Florida State, safety, still on the board. Trey Smith, interior offensive lineman from Tennessee, still on the board. We talked about offensive lineman earlier. Haven't had to address that one just yet. Hunter Long, tight end from Boston College. He's probably the best tight end available.
Is Brevin Jordan there?
Brevin Jordan has been taken off the board.
How about Pat Freiermuth?
Looks like he is off the board as well.
Sign me up for Hunter Long.
Okay. So you like Hunter Long.
He's a complete player. Yeah. He's a complete player.
All right, Hunter Long from Boston College. We pick 85, and then Tylan Wallace going to the Jets right after that. That's the tough part. Tutu Atwell to the Browns at 91. And as the Titans sit here at pick 100, Elijah Griffin went number 98 to the Saints, son of Warren G. Most importantly, fun fact there. Being a top 100 draft pick, I would like to see that. So now at pick 100, here's what we're looking at right now. Still have running back Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis. Kellen Mond on the board. Trey Sermon, running back from Ohio State. Trey Smith, still available. Interior offensive lineman from Tennessee. Go Vols. Cameron McGrone from Michigan, linebacker. And you have Kyle Trask, quarterback, Florida. Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa as an edge rusher. Tyree Gillespie, safety from Missouri.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that are high on him as a value pick.
I like his teammate, Josh Bledsoe, as well. Two really good safeties. They were on actually, you know, Vach Lombardi likes Gillespie also. Let me ask you this. Is Shai Smith available?
Shai Smith, wide receiver, South Carolina. They have him ranked as the 170th total prospect, so he was down a little bit. But is this the receiver you were thinking of earlier when we did kind of miss out on the run of receivers in the first two rounds?
He's not the receiver I was thinking, but I really like him.
This is the tricky part, though. If you're the GM, you got to think, is he going to be there in the next round when you pick?
Yeah. What about Daz Newsome? Is he there? Hey, we're using up all the clock, baby.
Oh, at 165, Daz Newsome is there. He's the number 165th ranked.
He is available. And, yeah, sign me up for Deontay Smith at pick 100.
Guy we've had here on the show.
Yes, sir. That's your future right tackle, ladies and gentlemen.
Future right tackle. And if you get him at 100, it's fantastic value.
Mm-hmm. James Hudson is a good option, too. I would have considered him. But, yeah, let's go Deontay Smith. So, he would be the future right tackle. So, right now, we're looking at Azeez Ojulari, Asante Samuel Jr., Hunter Long, and Deontay Smith. So, we've used the top four players or top four picks on two on offense, two on defense. So, there's balance there. Where are we at in the fourth round?
All right, at 126, we're on the clock. The best players available are Darius Washington, safety, TCU.
Uh-huh.
Andre Sisko, safety, Syracuse, which is, I've seen a lot of mocks that had him in the second round.
Yeah, yeah.
To the Titans. He's been one of those guys that's been very a volatile position. Still have Dio available.
Let's cut through the chase. Where's Kay Johnson? Is he available? Dakota State?
Oh, he should be. Absolutely. Yeah. Still available here at pick 126 in the fourth round.
And that's the guy that I projected fourth round. He that's why, you know, going Asante Samuel Jr. and Ojulari early, I said, well, okay, we're going to come back later and we'll get Kay Johnson. He's a polished player.
He's developed. Gonna be there.
He could play on the outside and the inside. He gives you help at the return game. I made the Doug Baldwin comp. He said NFL personnel. People have told him Tyler Lockett. Yeah, sign me up. I'll take that in the fourth round.
Can't go wrong
with
either one.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's the draft strategy, too. It's more than just picking who's the best player available. You got to be able to know what positions to pass up on. If you're not very high on a lot of the offensive linemen that you project to be in the fourth or fifth round, then you got to snag one early. That's a thing. I think John Robinson kind of talked about that, too, is evaluating the depth of these position groups. Not just the players you like. You're going to like players at every position,
right. But
you got to be able to know when you can get them and what you're going to do by sacrificing a first-round pick or a second-round pick, and if it's going to be able to leave gaping holes. Because say you don't address that wide receiver position in the top three rounds and you don't really have anybody you like at the back end of this draft, you're kind of stuck.
You absolutely are stuck. So that's a good way of looking at it, and that's what it comes down to as far as horizontal and vertical, how you look at the board. You don't draft just because you have a need. You draft, you want to make sure it matches both. You know what I mean? So what we got next for the Titans?
This is interesting. I think I know where you're going to go here. At pick 166, a couple names because I haven't addressed safety. Josh Bledsoe still on the board.
At pick 166. That's tempting. Is Cornell Powell on the board?
Cornell Powell, and indeed, still on the board.
Let's go back-to-back wide receivers. Give me Cornell Powell. He's a very polished player as well. So I want guys, that's three guys we've had on Talking
Almost
with TD.
All of them, yeah.
Hey, man, I'm doing like what the Titans need to do, man. They're utilizing their virtuals, and they're going with guys that they spent extensive time talking about and talking with. That's what we're doing right there. Sign me up, Cornell Powell.
It's funny. You're putting the GM hat on right now, and in a way, you've already had your pre-draft interviews with these players.
Yeah, you gotta know what
they're all about here.
That's what I'm saying.
So stacking up on receivers, coming into the sixth round now at pick 205, Patrick Johnson, edge rusher from Tulane. Wyatt Hubert, really? Kansas State edge rusher. Malcolm Kuntz, I guess how you say his name, Buffalo edge rusher. Interesting, some interesting spots here.
What are we looking at? What's available at corner?
Tay Gawan from UCF.
Good player. Good player.
Interesting player right there. It's probably the highest rated corner that they have. Manny Rugamba, Miami, Ohio corner.
Mm-hmm. Is Rodarius Williams there?
He is not. It looks like he has been taken off the board.
Oh, he has been taken. Yeah, that's woo. All right, what are we going to do here? How about Robert Rochelle? Is he available? That dude turns the football over, man. I would like him if he's there.
I think someone's already liked him, too.
Only two
available Roberts left in this draft. Robert Jones, MTSU offensive lineman, being one of them.
And, wow. Let's see. Let's think about this. You know what? I'll take the UCF guy. Give me him. I like his length. I think you can line him up on the outside, and he'll be solid for you. He'll be like that LeSean Sims type of player, you know, that may not start a lot of games, but you could get him in there when another corner goes down. You could get him in there in some dime and that type of thing. You know, if you want to move a guy like Christian Fulton into the slot, et cetera. So, yeah, give me him. I take him for sure.
Take him on. There you go.
Yep.
And then we're going to keep it in the sixth round here up to pick 215 as Lorenzo Neal Jr. just goes off the board, son of former Titan fullback Lorenzo Neal. And then at 215, the best players available, I guess, at the top of the board here are – got a couple edge rushers and Kuntz and Hubert from Kansas State and Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Herbert, running back from Virginia Tech. Jalen Darden, wide receiver from North Texas.
Mm.
Conference USA fella. Tariq Thompson, safety from San Diego State. Brady Breeze, a safety from Oregon, still available.
Is Bryce Thompson from Tennessee, is he there? If not, let me know if Reed Blankenship is there. We're going local.
We're going to go real local.
That's right.
I like Reed Blankenship, a guy I got to cover here in my days at MTSU. Oh, Reed Blankenship not on the board. Not available to be picked, at least.
Ah, linebacker. Let's look at that. What inside linebackers are there?
The highest-rated one is Garrett Wallow from TCU. Yeah, Garrett Wallow from TCU. Ernest Jones from South Carolina.
You know what? I need help in the return game. I need somebody that's going to just light that thing up. Give me Jalen Darling from Northwestern Texas.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that guy's pure juice in the return game, man.
Always need more. You can never have enough juice in the return game.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. He could definitely light things up, man. So that's where I would go. Sixth round, that's really good value. He gives you another option in the slot too. So now you got two guys to kind of fight for that punt return with Darrington Evans as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now you got Darrington Evans, Kay Johnson, Jalen Darden, all just clawing and trying to find a way to contribute, man. I like that. I'm smiling as I say it.
All right,
what's next?
Pick 232. Still have the two edge guys, Kansas State and Buffalo, Hubert and Kuntz. Let's see. Wide receiver Brandon Smith from Iowa. Wide receiver Austin Watkins from UAB. Any positions you want to address here?
What quarterbacks are there?
The best QBs available. I think I might know what you're thinking here, because we are getting into Felipe Franks' range here. But let's see. Brady Davis is listed as the highest ranked quarterback available, along with Sam Ellinger, KJ Costello, Shane Bichel from SMU, Felipe Franks still available, Zach Thomas, Appalachian State available, Zach Smith from Tulsa.
Let's take Brady Davis.
Okay, like Brady Davis, huh?
Yeah, I went to his pro day, watched him throw to how's his name? Jordan Matthews. I wanted to say Jalen Matthews. I don't know what I was thinking. But, yeah, Jordan Matthews, watch him throw.
Really?
That guy's Jordan got an Matthews? Arm, man. He's nice. He could get mobile. He throws that deep ball really well. And guess what? He was A.J. Brown's high school quarterback.
Really?
That's Starkville. That's right.
Okay, so you already have the connection there. Yeah, there it is.
That's what we do. We go deep, man.
We go real deep. Yeah.
I think I have one more pick, don't I?
Do not. That was our last one.
Okay, that was the seventh round pick.
That was the seventh round. All
right, so let's give the rundown, man. What do we have here?
All right, so first round, going with Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher from Georgia. At 53 in the second round, addressing the cornerback situation by going with Asante Samuel Jr. out of Florida State. In the 85th pick, filling in that tight end spot, had to fill the void that Jonnu Smith left, going with Hunter Long, tight end from Boston College. Pick 100, Deontay Smith, offensive tackle from East Carolina, friend of the show, as well as Cade Johnson at 126, wide receiver out of South Dakota State, really showing the depth in this wide receiver class. As we go back to the wide receiver well at 166, going with Cornell Powell, wide receiver from Clemson, one of Trevor Lawrence's favorite targets. And then in 205, Tay Guan, cornerback from UCF. 215, Jalen Darden, wide receiver from North Texas, getting a little extra speed kills. You never have enough of it. And then our last pick of this 2021 mock draft at 232, taking A.J. Brown's quarterback, Brady Davis, who played his college ball at Illinois State.
There it is right there, man. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. And
I'm a Titans fan. We'll, I like that.
We'll post that. You guys make sure you give your feedback. I want to shout you out, Elijah, for making these calls when it's time to dial these guys to be guests on the show, getting the bump music. I know it's not easy. I know I'm demanding with my request. And this was a great draft season, man. I appreciate you. 30-plus guys we had on, man. I don't have an exact number, but – every week we came in here and we grinded, man. So I shout you out for that one.
Hey, that's all you, man. There is not another place in the country where you can get this kind of these deep dives into these players. And I mean, if the draft goes the way we just mocked it, you just heard a lot of potential Titans already before they became Titans on this program. So that's a big testament to the work that you've done. And I'm just here pressing buttons, man.
Hey, we make it work, man. So I appreciate you. I appreciate each of you for listening. We're going to keep it rolling. Just stay tuned. And, man, I'm looking forward to this draft. Everybody, if you don't get the guy that you want, don't jump off a bridge. It's all right. Give it time. You never grade a draft immediately as far as grade a draft in concrete and ink. Do it in pencil because things can change. So, once again, thanks for tuning in. We're out of here.